everybody, welcome to the TMT Podcast. This is your host, David. With me, as always, my fellow host, Jamie.
Hello.
Wow, I was delayed there. Falls not sees anymore. It took you like 10 years to say hello. Yeah, I'm looking at my recording. There's like five seconds between when I said, here's Jamie. One, two, three, four. Hello. I'm Jamie, mate.
Hello. I'm Jamie.
I like tea with some biscuits.
It's the time difference.
Some bangers and mash.
That was the time difference. And this is a TMT Podcast episode 25.
Yes, it is. Last we tried to record 25 before, and it failed perfectly.
Yeah, and it's a shame as well because it was so much news there, we covered.
We covered a lot of stuff. We did.
Yeah, everything happened last week. Including the podcast not coming working.
Mm-hmm. Because, you know, why would the podcast work that week, right?
Oh. I don't know. Because it's the laws of the podcast gods.
Yep.
Whoever they may be.
Yeah. At this point, everyone knows what we got to talk about.
Yeah. So how have you been, Dave?
I've been okay. Now RIMO starts like Wednesday for me.
Oh yeah, your writing thing.
Mm-hmm.
You figured out what you're going to write?
I have two ideas. One is either I'm going to rework on an older idea, which has been gone through a lot of revision, and so it's changed a lot, and I have to write the whole thing from scratch. Or I came up with a goofy idea. Where a ragtag band of survivors, who all have like really odd, funny tropes, or like inversion of tropes at the core of their characters, are, they're on a quest to stop this couple from getting married and consummating their love, because their true love is so powerful it threatens to destroy the galaxy.
They're too in love.
Quite literally. They're so in love, it's going to destroy everything.
I like that idea. That sounds humorous.
That's the idea of it.
Do you like?
And it has both like fantasy and sci-fi elements to it. Like they fly a ship, but it's it's like a floating like sailboat.
I see. So it's like a love boat in space.
Yeah, it looks like a sailboat, but it's in space. At one point, like, one of the characters who is, like, sci-fi-ish is going to be like, wait a minute. How does this work?
I like the sound of this idea. I like the idea of just a normal couple in love, but the aliens themselves are trying to stop them.
Oh, they're not a normal couple. I mean, these are the people who are, like, so in love, like, when they kiss the galaxy, like, explosions happen. They destroy a planet when they make out.
So, like, you know, like that saying when couples are in love and they move like heaven and earth to be with each other, they literally do.
Yeah, it's this. Like they're destroying the galaxy by harboring their laws. Like when they get married, like half the galaxy just like explodes from under the sheer pressure of their love, and they don't notice because you know they're in love.
The stars move every time they gaze into each other's eyes.
The stars explode every time they gaze into each other's
eyes. Screaming. People are just dying.
Just imagine what will happen when they finally make love to each other. The whole darn universe is going to die.
They'll cause the second Big Bang. It's like, no, the Big Bang.
The Big Bang was caused by two people in love.
And they can't let it happen a second time?
No, because there are still people living in the galaxy. They're not ready.
I like this. It's that. I like this idea. I like.
Do you like the sound of it?
I like over the top goofy. I like something that's just a ridiculous premise.
It actually fits really well with the series that I've been planning for a long time, where it just like takes tropes to a new extreme and just like makes fun of tropes. Like the very first idea I had for that was a woman enters a lottery and she wins the title of the Queen of Darkness.
Okay. Is that a title that exists?
It is now, and she literally like has all of a sudden she's the Queen of Darkness, and she has all these things that like serve her, and she has no idea what's going on. And the guy who originally had the title lost it because he was in mice to his minions, is trying to kill her to get it back, and her brother wins, like a heroic instrument, and now has to enter hero training. She seeks help from like an angel who's like really eager to kill things.
Okay.
And a succubus who can't seduce anyone to save her life.
This is funny. I like all of this.
Yep. And of course, they meet an evil overlord who's actually more like fashionable than evil.
It's funny. I don't know if you ever watched this show. There was a show recently based on a comic book called mm-hmm. Preacher.
Yeah.
And its premise is a guy who gets this gift where he, like, they call it the word of God. Like, he tells people to do something and they'll do it, but they mm-hmm. take it very literal. So he'll be like, open up to your family, and the person will, like, cut themselves up.
Wow.
And they present that to their family. But, like, similar to how you described your idea having such an odd series of characters, this show has that. Because it has, there's him with that, then there's two angels that are trying to track him down and take the power from him because they accidentally let the power get out and they're going to get in trouble. Then there's some vampire that exists. And then there's just the guy's ex-girlfriend who's like just a mercenary. But my favourite thing about it is, like, there's these two angels and they have this fight scene with the vampire.
Yeah.
And, like, they don't believe he's a vampire. And he's just like, you're angels, you should know what exists on Earth.
That's kind of amusing. I heard of that show, but I didn't think it was a comedy thing.
It's like a dark comedy. There's, like, really dark stuff, but it's presented in a humorous way. But there's like an episode where basically he tries to get God to talk to people.
Mm-hmm.
So like God appears on like a TV, like he's broadcasting, and then it eventually turns out it's just an angel in disguise because God's gone missing.
Wow!
So it's just an angel, like, and he's wearing like the robes, he's got the beard and everything, he's doing all the God stuff, like talking like God and everything like that. And then all of a sudden they kind of realize he's not actually God. So he, like, quickly starts freaking out, starts shouting and screaming. It's like, we don't know where he is, we don't know who he is. And two more angels just start tackling him to the ground.
Wow.
It's just, like, kind of stuff like that. Like, nothing that makes sense and just stuff that's just crazy. But, yeah, that's the best part of the show.
Huh.
And I love programs like that. I love ideas like that where, like, they understand when something's ridiculous and something's stupid, but they just mm-hmm. take full advantage of it, basically. It doesn't happen. I don't think you see that enough. I feel like too many things try and take themselves too seriously.
Yeah.
And this is basically a show that knows exactly the right level to portray itself, and it does it perfectly.
Hmm.
And you just reminded me of it when you were talking about your book.
And I've got a couple other characters who are just goofy. Like, there's another guy later on. His mother is a very high ranking demon in hell, and she's decided that she's gonna invade Earth in order to help him progress somehow. And she loves him like a mother, but she loves him in a demonic way. So she's always trying to kill him. And then, like, when he, like, spoils her, he's like, oh, I'm so proud of you. And, like, he has a half-brother who's utterly lazy and never does anything. Even when his life's in danger, he just lays there. And he spends most of his life as a crow just sleeping because he's too lazy to do anything else.
That just sounds ridiculous, but
it is. And there are a lot of other characters too, like a mad scientist who will literally do anything, except he's assisted by a dryad who, when she's not assisting him, is watching UFC fights.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's funny. That's just... That's crazy. I don't know. There must be like a type of genre for that kind of thing. Like,
I meant fictional fantasy, probably. I just try to include sci-fi elephants as well. Okay. Like the evil overlord uses evil robots. Yeah. Actually, you know, his brother is the guy who's the super spy who's supposed to foil him all the time. And he was trained Mr. Miyagi style.
Okay.
But when they're not, like, fighting over the history of the world, they just live together. They're roommates.
So, like, after they're done fighting, they're just, like, chilling out on the sofa talking.
More or less, yeah. Up,
having dinner.
More or less.
He's just like... He's just like, did you eat the last bit of pizza in the fridge?
Yeah, and when he's not fighting his evil robots, the evil robots are helping serve him. And sometimes they get angry at each other for
being his butler.
Because the apartment they live in isn't just a normal apartment. It's part of, like, the evil overlord's complex.
So it's on his base.
Yeah, literally. After they blow it up, they just go back and chill.
So he's like fighting around against all these robots, and basically there's his house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like a secret underground complex.
I like this.
And then there are other characters too. Like, there's a goddess. Or no, not a goddess. Like, it's deity. Who, everything he does is announced by, like, a voice. Like, the miracle of the such and such. And the deity's, like, a 6-year-old.
Okay. That's fine. So it's like a big, like, beaming voice introduced him, and then it's just a 6-year-old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's funny.
He's actually just like a kid. And so when he gets sugar high, there are miracles going off everywhere.
He gets a bit excited. He's jumping up and down the bed, and then there's like flowers and trees growing everywhere.
Yep. And apparently he belonged to a race of gods who destroyed themselves. They got sick of a voice announcing everything they did.
That's funny.
And then the third one.
So they hear that. So everyone knows of the voice.
Yeah, everyone hears the voice whenever he does something, and they all hate it. And he finally gets rid of it by the miracle of the murdered voice, and all of a sudden they hear the voice get strangled.
They hear the voice get strangled. Okay.
And that's how he finally solves that problem.
So it's basically like they hear a guy in a sound booth getting strangled, and that's how they realize the voice is gone.
Just violently beaten to death. And that's how that problem gets solved. And then also, speaking of hyperactive characters,
what are you doing here?
There's another character later on who's hyperactive. Who's, she's one of the...
I would imagine so.
And so she's always drinking coffee because she's very hyper. And like she's very obsessed with making deals. And she also loves to try and kidnap babies.
Okay. So
because I don't know if you know that, but the she loves
steals babies.
It was rumored that she would always. They were the reason babies disappeared.
Oh.
And so she'll kidnap babies all the time, and she'll have to be told, "No, you can't keep it."
Like someone walks into like a compound where she lives, and they just hear a baby, and they're like. Have you done it again? Return that baby. This
and one of the I like to have a normal, quote unquote, normal person in each story. You one of the normal people in that one is just a 6-year-old she's person. Abducted, and they didn't know where to return her to.
She forgot where this one came from.
Because by the time they left, it was too late to return it.
I just imagine the kids are like just. The kid's basically adult. Like, it's still a kid. It still does kid stuff, but it's just, like, knows that what's happened has happened and knows it can't.
Well,
it has to just deal with what's happened.
Like, part of that book is based on the evil overlord list. And what the main character ends up doing, because her wish is... She's a succubus who wants to disprove how everyone treats succubi by not acting slutty and how they're not to be objectified even though they're succubus.
Okay.
And she does that by trying to take over an empire and prove she can rule it. By kidnapping
children.
What ends up becoming her plan is she realizes her, like, quote-unquote friends and assistants or advisors are so inept. It's just better for her to ask the five-year-old every once in a while, hey, is this a good idea? And then if the five-year-old can't solve it, then it's okay to do.
If the child can't figure it out, then it's good.
One of her assistants is a Templar, or an ex-Templar. He got kicked out because he wasn't a good enough banker. And he will, like, fight to the last coin for anything.
Because he only has like a limited number of coins left.
Because that's what the Templars were like. They became bankers eventually.
And this one's lost. That's funny. I could literally just sit here and listen to like all these different characters and like picture them in my head and picture how they'd interact with one another.
There is one character in the fourth one I came up with. That was another interesting one. This fourth character, I named him Master Nathan Fillion, and he's the quote unquote normal guy of that one. He's the best friend of the guy who ends up in this scenario. At one point he gets hexed, so his belt never stays tied, and so for most of the novel he's going around holding up his pants.
So something happens, he has to put his hands up, his trousers just fall down.
Exactly,
but he's still like the me. But he's like the straight guy, so like,
and he's a normal one.
Trying to be funny, he's just like stupid witch making my trousers fall down.
Well, actually, it happened from their other friend, who's a wizard, but he doesn't know what spells he's casting because he doesn't know the language.
So he's just saying stuff, and it just
happens. Yeah, he doesn't understand it. They just hope that he picked the right spell.
So, like, he's just saying a lot of random words, and everyone's just looking at him, expecting the same big turban, and then one guy's trousers just fall down.
Yeah, and they do for the rest of the one. Now, the main character of that one turns out one of his parents was an angel, so he's half angel. No, he suddenly is, like, turned into an angel artificially by heaven when aliens invade Earth, and he's supposed to deal with it. That's what they turned him into an angel for. And his trainer for this, like the one to teach him how to fight, is a really powerful android who like knows all the stuff, but she doesn't believe in aliens.
It's a robot that doesn't believe in aliens.
Yeah, and they're fighting aliens.
Okay. So like she just doesn't...
She keeps coming up with excuses for why they aren't actually aliens.
They're probably just sick. Probably got the flu. That's why they look like
that. And, like, the thing is, she was hired by heaven.
So it's a robot that was hired by heaven, disproving aliens while in the war, while fighting aliens.
Yep.
Okay. That's fine. I can just see how, like, annoying that'd be. Like, look out, there's aliens coming. No, they're not aliens. No, they look at them, they're aliens. I'm like, no, I refuse to believe these are aliens.
But yeah, it's like that.
It's just like, they've got tentacles and they're walking upside down.
They're declaring they're from outer space. That doesn't mean anything. And some of the other people in that are, there's a voodoo doctor who likes to write smut about her friend, about the people she's with. And then she uses voodoo dolls to make it come true.
Okay. A voodoo doll. So basically, he writes pornographic.
She writes it, and then she uses the voodoo dolls to try and make it act out.
So like, all of a sudden, like, two cats are like, oh man, my clothes are really heavy.
No, it's like all of a sudden they're like banging into each other and stuff.
They've been, like, pulled towards each other.
Like, no, not again! I thought we talked about this!
Why does this keep happening? I didn't sign up for this. This is not why I befriended a voodoo doctor.
Yep. And they have a werewolf with them who tries to act serious all the time but keeps getting distracted by smells and things. So she has, like, no control over getting distracted by instincts. Dog things.
Are all these characters female?
No. A lot of them are male. Most of them are male.
Okay. Because it seems... Because so far you've said the voodoo doctor and the werewolf are both female. Yeah,
but the guy who gets turned into an angel, his friend, the one who's based off Nathan Fillion.
Oh, yeah.
And the wizard are all male. Oh, there's also an undead knight with him. This one's based on Dark Souls. He's immortal, okay. So he can't die, but he keeps getting hit by things all the time.
Like he gets he gets impaled. And just
yeah, and then he wakes up like a couple hours later, ow, that hurt.
I like that. He just gets smacked. He's just like, he's just got a knife in him. He just passes out, wakes up, the knife's still in him. He just pulls it out. It's just like, why is it always me?
Yeah, and he's always getting killed in the most absurd ways, too.
I can imagine how annoying that would be. Yeah. Going back to Preacher, angel character in that. Angels in Preacher, they die, but then they just resume a new body. Like their old bodies exist, and they just have a new one. So it's kind of similar. They just that's kind of a funny concept of just characters that can't die, yeah. Just continuously die in the worst ways possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's
or
it's
not even
amazing.
Just dying, just like.
They also have somebody. I haven't quite decided what they are, but there's someone who's traditionally evil. Except this one's just it just does it as his job. And so it does these really terrible, horrific things. And then it goes home and talks on Twitter.
I'm an evil traditioner. So it's just he goes on Reddit. He's like, AMA with traditional evilist. Evil's my job. I don't take it home. The police come to his door when he's not working. He's just like, guys, I quit at 5. I
finished
at 5
o'clock. There's something in the story. At one point, the one who becomes a queen of darkness asks, how come people never notice this stuff? She's walking around the hellhound and no one's paying attention really to it. And the angel turns to her and says,
everyone's too busy.
Yeah, so why is no one screaming or anything? And the angel looks at her and says, no one notices. But why not? They just don't pay attention. And he goes up to the guy, calls him a sinner, and then stabs him. Because the angel's really obsessed with meting out justice. He stabs him, and everyone gathers around the body, but then no one stops the angels. He just walks off.
I was just like, dude, this guy just tripped and fell. He's like, he's got a knife sticking out of him. They just... everyone's just tweeting bad, sad stuff. They look like, OMG, just saw a guy die. That should be the whole thing, it should be based on a true story, people just don't notice it.
I had another idea. That's the biggest problem with Nano, is I always end up with too many ideas.
And then you can't even save them, because by next year you already have a load of brand new ideas.
Mm-hmm.
So you just or have I'll to pick your favourite, your favourite child.
It's
or forget about your favourite child.
And all the other children. And that's kind of what it's like. Can you imagine just forgetting every child and just having new ones every year? It's like your children never go beyond one.
Yeah. It's like, what happened to you? I thought you had a girl. I did. But then I decided to have a boy instead. And the kids just looks at pictures, and every year it's just you with a different child. They're just like...
this happened to me one day.
Why have you got a different child? Probably. But I'll take you to a nice farm. It's just where you take, but they always, you tell your child, you're like, okay, I'm going to take you to a nice farm, but you say it as the way you talked, do you tell them about a dog dying where you take it to a farm?
That's a bit dark. I think we'll draw the line there. That's a bit too much.
And cut.
Cut there. Podcast over.
It's implied. It's implied, child. Yeah. So replacing children every year is fine, but implying that they go to a special farm is too far.
To die? You kind of really imply death, as in putting down a kid.
I just said words, Dave. I don't.
You should pay attention to what your words mean.
I know what my words mean.
If you were called the queen, you wouldn't just blub all your words out.
Oh, I would. I would tell the queen anything.
So, in other words, you get executed by the queen.
Yeah, but she probably wants to. She probably hasn't done it in a while.
Wow. Talk about dedication to your country.
I mean, if you want to chop my head off, fine. I'm just going to say a bunch of stuff before you do, just to, you know, really drill it in that I deserve this. If I knew I was dying, I would turn the filter off in my brain. I would just, like, start saying whatever I want. Like, I'm not a racist person, but if I was about to be executed, I'd probably be the most racist person in the world.
Because you could?
Basically, because there'd be no implications. Like, I'm dying anyway, so I might as well offend everyone there is.
Jamie doesn't want to be remembered like a hero.
I mean, if you're getting executed by the queen, chances are you're not going to be a hero anyway.
Yeah, I just mean in general, though.
I don't know. I'd like my last few minutes to be first executed on TV, executed, but I was being filmed on live TV. I'd like to be the person who said the most stuff on live TV.
I don't have words for you right now.
I don't know. I look forward to it. I mean, I don't, but, you know, if it happens, it happens. And, well, I'm prepared for it. I just imagine, like, me in, like, I'm being hung, so I've got the rope around me and I'm on the chair and they're about to knock it down. I'm just, like, doing, like, offensive stand-up comedy.
You're just being as rude as you can.
I'm just, like, looking at people and go, I'm just being, like, saying stereotypical stuff, racist stuff, sexist stuff. I'm just offending everyone. I get bored, so I just start offending trees. I'm just like, what's the deal with trees, huh? When I'm pricks. They just knock the tree down, I'm just hanging, I'm still, like, saying stuff. And it's like, shut him up!
Kill him already!
He's hanging, sir. He should be dead already. I'm like, no.
So NaNoWriMo is right around the corner, and yes. I don't know what to talk about.
NaNoWriMo is right around the corner, you know, you've figured out what you're going to write about, and I'm waiting to be executed, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, speaking of executions.
Executions?
I beat Dark Souls 3 DLC, the Ashes of Andariel, already. Beat it on...
You really executed that DLC?
Yeah, I did. I beat it on Friday. And I beat it, and I tell you, it was really great. I loved it. I got a pretty sweet new weapon from it. And a new pyromancy glove. But now it's like, oh.
For a moment, I thought you were...
Okay. And now I'm just back to grinding for 30 proofs of a common blood cat.
I don't know why, but the way you were going at it, I thought you were going to say, and I got a sweet boner from it.
Oh, I did get a murder boner.
Oh, good. I wouldn't expect any less. But did you say... I believe you said before, is this the only DLC?
No, it's going to be one more.
DLC for the game? Okay. Do you know anything about that one?
Nope.
Oh, good. So it's like going to be a surprise when they basically say, here's DLC.
Yep.
It's coming soon.
All we know is that we're getting one more, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yep. So how does the Dark Souls DLC work? Is it basically just a new area?
It's a new area, new boss, and it has its own contained storyline. Or rather, you know, it has its own storyline which continues to question the nature of mankind.
Oh, good.
I enjoyed it. Some people are calling it short, but the amount of weapons and content there in it is... Maybe it was short in play length, but it was really condensed and high quality. I enjoyed it a lot. Just because it wasn't long doesn't mean
Is it kind of one of those things where it's short if you just, like, do the actual story start to finish and not take your time?
Well, it also depends, too. I imagine a lot of people like me played it when they're... The DLC becomes available to your character at kind of say maybe a quarter or a third through the game. So most people like me already had a fully powered character ready to go through it from their playthrough, and we're just waiting.
Ah, so you're ready to restructure it. So
a lot of people probably just like overpowered for where you should be when you start it. Maybe. Because I didn't, the amount of souls I was getting there compared to other areas wasn't a lot.
I see.
And so I kind of, I destroyed things, especially with my awesome fire powers.
So what you're saying, it was short for the people who
I mean, there were some people who played it at New Game Plus 3 at only level 35, who probably had a hard time. But the rest of us, I mean, we were overpowered, and I mean, we're kind of used to the mechanics of Dark Souls, so we know how to fight them.
Yeah, not like you're playing a new game or anything.
Yeah.
Especially people like you who like breathe Dark Souls.
Who am like, oh, I'm coming up on level 200.
I don't think I've ever come up to level 200 on any game ever.
It's a good feeling.
I'll hold you to it. I'll not hold you to it.
You become really powerful.
Yeah. I guess that's good. You do want to feel powerful.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah. So at least it's good. I'm glad you had a good experience with DLC. Because, yeah. Speaking of DLC,
I can't wait to go through it again with Charlie when he eventually has it.
Walking through it?
Yeah. Because I need more speaking options to try out my weapon.
Yeah. But speaking of good DLC, mm-hmm. Recently this week, through secret sources,
mm-hmm.
It's been emerged that maybe that Rockstar might be scrapping any attempts at story DLC for GTA 5.
There were attempts? I didn't even think apparently, it had a story.
Apparently.
I thought it just had DLC. Like,
yeah.
I guess you could call the heists DLC, but that's not how I saw them.
Yeah. Yeah. Apparently, at the very start of the game, there was like, before multiplayer came out, kind of thing, those 2 weeks, there was talks about story DLC, continuing the story characters and stuff like that. And that kind of got shifted with the story and everything, or with the multiplayer and everything like that. And now, 2 years later, after the game has been out for so long, there's apparently now it's like sort of official that they're just not going to bother.
Yeah, I wouldn't have been interested in that. I'll admit.
I'll be honest, by this point, it was kind of a given. Like, if after 2 years, a game hasn't, like, even mentioned story DLC, you can basically,
I mean, let's face it, how many people play that game for the story? They play it to steal cars and to do other cool stuff.
Yeah. I've only played the story twice, once on the 360 and once on the One, and even then, like, the second time playing it was more like a chore, basically.
Yeah.
It's not like it was never like an engaging story. There was never like,
you weren't playing it to play the story. You were playing it because you just wanted the stuff,
achievements.
Yeah,
yeah. I'll be honest. There's not even that many levels that I actually remember of being enjoyable.
Other than the torture one, and that one's not enjoyable. Unless you know you're a sadist.
It's not enjoyable, but that's the one that is the one that sticks out to most people. But yeah, I don't remember any other levels that I. And they didn't. No levels really had much replayability.
No, they didn't.
Even the ones where you, even the levels where you did heist in the story, like they were just so
boring. Yeah,
they were just so walking you through it. Yeah, I think you didn't play the. It was more. I think in a way, it was more the characters in the story that made you play the story because they were fun, interesting characters. But even then.
Mm-hmm. Eventually, they lost their interest.
You can only, yeah, and hell, if you want to hear some Trevor stuff, you can might as well just play the multiplayer and watch him interact with your own made character.
Yeah, I was more amused by him being afraid of my character than anything else.
Yeah, looking in your soulless eyes and being scared. Get scared because you don't talk to him. That's it.
He gets scared because you stand there like an idiot. Oh.
Is that, and at the end of Trevor's Heist for the
one player? GTA is one of those games where I kind of want to play it. Yeah.
Shit. Yeah. There was always that. There was also that level with the for the heist, where at the end of Trevor's Heist, you have like this cutscene of him like I think he fell off a cliff or something and like washed up on a beach, and he just starts punching trees and screaming, and then starts crying
because he lost all the money from his deal. Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't make anything, and he got betrayed, basically. So he just gets mad and angry and sad.
Yeah.
He's a fun guy. He's a fun old character.
If you say. I mean, GTA 5 is one of those games where I kind of want to play it, but at the same time, once you start playing it, it just gets boring. There wasn't enough stuff there to actually hold your interest.
There's good stuff now, but it all requires, like...
It all requires you to be rich in-game.
The problem...
The thing that made GTA 5...
Rich and it requires you to have friends.
Yeah, the thing which made GTA 5 worse than GTA 4 was when they started adding costs on the things. In GTA 4, you could just find it and then just have fun. In GTA 5, it's like an economy and everyone's afraid to lose their stuff.
Very true. That was definitely a big thing with the whole... with GTA 5. It's like...
I feel like all putting your money on everything ruined it. It ruined the fun.
GTA 5 made you feel poor, and it made you feel like they were trying to do the whole... Like, they had the big microtransaction stuff, like you could buy money and all that, and you could kind of tell that that's why they... A lot of the reasons why they make all this, like, quote-unquote free content is because they know they could just trick microtransactions you into paying money.
Or rather, the economy in the game wasn't fun.
And it's honestly as well, there's not actually that many ways to earn a big amount of money. Like, unless you replay a mission like 80 times, you're not going to get the right amount of money to do a mission. To, not do a mission.
Yeah.
You're not going to get the right amount of money to do it, and you just, you know, it's not going to feel like you're accomplishing anything because you're just not getting the right. God, I'm losing train of thought.
It just wasn't good. It wasn't worth it.
Yeah, it's like by the time you've done a mission 5 times, you've kind of given up.
Especially when you're getting crap all over the woods for it.
Or buy a... Yeah. I remember early on in the game where the biggest way to make money was to find a particular car and sell it for 9,000.
Yeah.
And now if you look... And even now, looking at it, like, if you want to buy all the good things in the game, if you want to buy a, if you want to get a yacht, if you want to get clubhouses, if you want to be a CEO, if you want
to
get
tanks, you have pretty much either have to put 1,000,000 hours in the game or you have to spend money. It was a pay-to-play.
Yeah. And it's not fun.
Yeah.
For people like you and me...
Who don't have $1,000,000.
Anytime we either of us think, like, wouldn't it be fun to revisit GTA 5? That's the big put-off, is the fact that it'll basically
everything costs,
like,
and we couldn't afford it.
It'll basically be like showing up to a final exam of, like, a class that took 3 years, and you've only been there for, like, 2 months or something.
Yeah.
You showed up for the first 2 months of the classes, disappeared for a year, and then showed up to the final exam.
It just wasn't very fun.
Yeah, it's not fun having to put so much work into a game just to basically unlock the stuff that other people are just buying with money. Hopefully, considering the difference between that and Red Dead Redemption, hopefully they'll find a way of
doing
currency in
that.
Red Dead Redemption 2 that won't be your actual money. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I've said it before, and the multiplayer of GTA 5 is pretty good, like in the way that it can just be so many people doing so many different things, and it handles it, and it's just all this other stuff built into it. Even like the stuff like the biker gangs and the CEO stuff, that's great. It's just you have to kind of buy your way into it.
And no one likes doing that.
After it's already exists. Like, it's not fun having Lester phone you up every 5 minutes telling you there's a new heist to do. And then kind of be at the position where you can't afford to do the heist.
Yeah.
Or you can't do it because you don't know people or stuff like that. It kind of almost got to the way where it's like, not only do you have to pay to play the game, but you also then have to bring along other people to help you actually do it.
And I don't mind games that have a co-op focus, but when you're already paying so much into it, it just becomes miserable.
Very much.
The parts people enjoy playing in GTA 5 multiplayer weren't the type of things that we paid for.
No. I think, honestly, any time I do pick up GTA 5, I just like to get in a plane and just fly around for a bit.
Yeah. We just like to mess about. But when it costs you to mess about, no one likes to do it.
Yeah. And, you know, if they released a GTA game that was just the multiplayer aspect, I'd probably buy it. I'd probably play it.
Mm-hmm.
As long as they had content that's available for people to play without having to pay.
Yeah.
You know.
Maybe GTA 6 or Red Dead 2
have to put in so much work to. Hopefully. Yeah. Hopefully they find the right balance of content and accessibility.
I mean, you know who did have a good balance of that, though?
Who?
Titanfall.
Oh, yeah. I'll agree.
And speaking of Titanfall, Titanfall 2 has been released. One of the best I've heard a lot of good things about Titanfall 2.
I have seen good reviews about Titanfall.
Like, people are saying it's way better than it looked in the beta.
People are saying it's way good.
It's way better than it was in the beta.
Yeah.
Because the beta was kind of criticized, but...
I remember the beta.
I guess they said, all right, well, we can fix those problems. Done.
Yep. I did a good job, I've heard.
Yep, I'm looking forward to it.
Did you see the trailer that they released, the launch day trailer?
Yeah, I did. That was a pretty cool trailer.
It's so cool. I was watching that, I was thinking, if they made this a movie, I'd watch this.
That's how I feel about a lot of game trailers, though. Speaking of game trailers, though, did you know Blizzard might be considering Overwatch for some sort of Netflix show?
Oh, that would work. That would work perfectly.
It's like what everyone wants.
If it Amazon... Yeah. Like, even if they did it in the series of, like, short films, as they do currently, if they just released, like, if they've made and released, like, maybe, like, 5 different short films, or even anything like that, would be cool.
Yeah.
Every time they do something like that, it's great. That's why I love the, intro cinematic for the, Halloween event, Junkin' Sam's Revenge, because it's like being in one of the, because it's got, like, the right amount of, like, writing, it's got, like, humor, it's, like, it's what Overwatch is really good at.
Yeah.
Like, it's easily the kind of game where they could have just had it be, like, silent, so they didn't have to have all this story, because they, you know, they could have figured nobody needs that. But they find a way to put the right amount of stuff in. I love when certain characters play with each other, and you just hear, like, aspects of their story revealed, just because one person picked Junkrat and the other person picked Roadhog.
Yeah, that's pretty neat.
You don't get that in a lot of those kind of games.
It's just a fun game, and I look forward to a show about it. Even if it's something like a cartoon or something.
I'd say this. I feel like if they did a movie on it, it would be very similar to to Watchmen. Like, where there's one team exists in the past, and it's, like, showing the glimpse of them while showing a new team form. Because that's very similar, that's very what Watchmen did, and that's very similar to what Overwatch kind of is. It's like, one team existed, there's a history there, and it's, like, the reform of a new team. With, like, betrayal and all that stuff.
Are you seriously comparing Overwatch to Watchmen?
I'm saying, like, story elements of it. Makes sense.
Yeah,
it's like the past team that disappeared. There was a team in the past. They did heroic stuff. stuff happened and they went down. People left, people got angry at each other, and then they reformed because of basically a thing. There's a guy that used to be part of the team is now an enemy, which is happens in both. I'm just saying, there's elements that are very similar. Mm. I'm not comparing the two.
That sounded like, Jamie, that essentially was a comparison you just did.
I'm just saying there's very similar elements. There's... I don't know. I'm saying right now, Overwatch is better. I prefer Overwatch. I'm not going to, like, get rid of Overwatch and, like, turn it in for a copy of Watchmen.
You just kept going like down really that anxious. Road after you said you weren't comparing them. And then you just kept comparing them. This is one of those things where it's like, you obviously don't listen to your words.
I'm saying, like, story elements are very similar. I'm not saying, like, anything else.
Jamie, saying the story elements are similar is a comparison.
Yeah. And you can compare two things, but they don't have to be the same.
I'm not saying they're the same. I asked if you were comparing them. And you said no, and then started comparing them. Oh. That's the part that's funny to me.
I was comparing them. Yeah, I guess.
By the way, that reminds me of something I had with Jake earlier this week talking. I don't know if you know this, but there's a new god out in Smite, or rather it's a week or two old god. We were wondering you could pronounce his name.
Okay.
It's pronounced Camazotz. If you want, you can look it up, because I want to hear you pronounce this. Because we both know that you just can't, like, do it to say you have bad trouble with names.
I can't pronounce things, Dave.
No, you can't.
This is a very serious problem, and I...
The way you added R in Medusa and called? Call of Medusa. C-A-M-A. It looks like a giant bat.
C-A-M-A.
Z-O-T-Z.
Okay. Is it Camazot?
Not quite.
Camazot? Camazot? Camazods? Camazot? Zolts?
Camazot.
Is it like those kids that have the names where they put an S at the end, but it's a Z? Like, but it's actually a S.
It's Camazotz. Camazotz.
Camazotz.
Not Camazotz.
Say it fast, basically.
Yeah.
So you say it fast.
If you want, you should look up a pronunciation for it later, because that's one of those names where Jake said, I want to hear Jamie pronounce this.
Oh, he's a Mayan bat god.
Yeah, he's a Mayan god of bats, and he killed lots of people.
Yeah, as bats do. I also heard he fought Batman once.
Dude, he ate Batman.
He ate Batman, he ate Man-Bat, he ate everyone. He's the real bad guy.
He actually killed a god at one point, so he's one of the toughest people in the Mayan, like, bad guy list.
So there are gods that are just, like, bad. Like,
yes.
Are they... So there's like
there are gods that are definitely objectively evil, like Apua.
Okay, because I always thought like gods were like the people that people worship, the people that they like trusted in and stuff like that. I didn't realize there's also gods that are just generic.
In Greek mythology, yes, there. And then you have some gods in there. In Greek mythology, I wouldn't describe anyone as being particularly evil.
Because I know the thing with Zeus is that he's basically an arsehole.
More or less.
He basically goes around having kids, eating them.
Zeus is more or less a dick.
He does eat kids. I didn't make that up, did I?
No, his dad did.
Okay, so he'll probably do it too. you know, you always end up like your parents.
No, his dad ate his kids to stop them from being born, because his kids were prophesied to be greater than him.
I think if he ate them, they were already born.
Yeah, they were born, and then he ate them. And then when Zeus was about to be born, his mom was like, no, I don't want him to eat this one. He's already eaten five of them. And so she switched him out for a rock.
Don't eat this one. You're going to
get
fat.
His dad didn't notice.
Eat a rock.
And she sent Zeus to be raised somewhere else, and then he came back and punched his dad so hard in the stomach that all his siblings came out fully grown. And that's when the war on Titan came.
He vomited adult siblings.
Yep.
How big? You're like, oh, gosh.
Well, the Titans were meant to be like really big. So eating an adult would be nothing to them.
I see. So his dad was a Titan.
Yeah, his dad was a Titan.
Who ate his kids, and then one day got punched.
He was Cronos, which is different than Cronos, the god of time. Or rather, the Cronos who's presented. There's two Cronoses. One's a primordial being, the other one is a Titan.
The thing that ever happens with the gods is like they get a letter and they open it up and they're like, oh, this was meant to go to Cronos. Damn it.
Maybe. I mean, maybe someone gets Thorns and Zeus mixed up. Who knows? Especially, or they're Romans.
Well, you know, there's like a knock at the door and the guy opens it and he's like, I got a letter here for Camazot. He's just like, ugh. He's just like, no, that's not right. It's Camazot. What was it?
You can't even remember. Oh, that's even funnier.
That was spell.
You only know how to spell because I told you, though. Like, look it up, then.
Yeah. I did. It's like C-A-M.
Did you look up the pronunciation?
Z. I'm doing a podcast, Dave.
Well, I don't mean audible. You can still look at a visual pronunciation.
That won't help.
You can't read visual pronunciations?
I could. Dave, I can hardly pronounce Troborn. I can't pronounce Troborn. What is it?
What are you starting to say now?
No. I'm talking about the elf, the gnome, the dwarf, the dwarf from Overwatch. Dwarf.
What dwarf?
Troborn. The dwarf who builds in Overwatch.
Oh, Torbjorn?
Torbjorn. There we go.
Toborn. You just have no pronunciation, do you?
I should never like be in charge of like meeting foreign people.
He's
the king of Sweden. I'll just say the name wrong, and then all of a sudden there's an international accident, and then I'm being executed by the queen. That's how it's going to happen, Dave.
That's how it's going to be. I mean, for a moment there, though, I thought you were having trouble saying Trogdor. I couldn't tell.
No, I could say Trogdor.
It didn't sound like it for a moment.
I can say most words. I can say most words that I hear. Like, wait, that doesn't make sense. I could say common sounding words. I could say words that. I can say words that are said the way they're spelt. That's probably the best way to describe it.
Unfortunately for you, you were born into the English language.
I know. I can speak proper English. I just can't. It's just the other languages that fuck me. I don't have time
listening
for
to you speak. It's
alternate
like
pronunciations.
Impressive.
It is.
It is. Like, I can hear you visibly struggling.
I know. I know, right? It's like.
You're trying so hard.
It's like, I'm a person talking. It's basically like I'm trying to talk while being, like, suffocated.
Is that what talking is like for you? That's horrible.
Now, what it is. If you've ever seen Titanic at the end when they're in the cold water, that's me. I'm like slowly freezing to death and I'm trying to tell people how I feel. I'm like, Rose, I love you. I'm always surprised with Titanic. If I was ever there and I hit the cold water, I'd just be screaming my head off. I'd just be like, fuck this. Like, it's all this beautiful moment. They're on a door, like, falling in love and all this. I'm just like, give me the fucking door. I'm cold too.
I'll never let you go.
She gotta live. No, I'll let you go. I don't want to be cold.
What would you do if that, like, if you were in that situation? The girl just refuses to let you go.
She's holding on to me. I'm like, just let me die. I'm already going to die. Just let me die properly. She's like, I'll never let you go. I'm like, oh, you're fat.
Wow. Jamie gives no F's.
I'll just be like, oh, I wasn't actually an artist. I just wanted to see you naked.
But you drew that picture.
Which way to treat me? No, I was just doing a crossword, really. She's like, what?
And then she holds out the picture, like, but what, where did this come from, then?
Oh, I just took a picture and then sent it online and got someone else to do it. She goes, you put naked pictures of me online? Yeah, it wouldn't be the first time.
And videos.
She's like, what? Yeah.
You think what happened in the car
I filmed the whole thing, too. I'm gonna be a millionaire. She's like, what? He's like, yeah. So just if you just want to let go, and I'll push you off, and then I'll float away to my paradise.
But what if she then says, "Now I'll never let you go because I want you to die." She wants you to suffer.
That would be her right, because I probably deserve it.
You were just trying to do that to get her to let go of you in the first place.
She's like holding on to me, so like, I'm not letting you go. You did me. You've betrayed me. I'm going to make you pay. I'm just biting her arms, trying to make her let go. Just like scratching
her eyes. I don't want to die in pain.
Yes. I don't want naked pictures of me on the internet. They're already there. I can't get them off now.
You think I can do anything when I'm underwater?
Yes, I'm sorry. Yes. This boat had bad Wi-Fi as it is. It's like 1940... It's like 1904. It's like 1912. Hell, Hitler's only just been born. She's like, who's Hitler? You'll find out. I won't, because I'm dying.
Jeez.
See, so apparently, not only am I on the Titanic, but I'm also a time traveller.
So it seems.
In this story. This is why they never picked me up to be the next Doctor Who.
You banged
my
Rose
opening story would be
away.
Me like tricking, me banging Rose, uploading naked pictures of her, claiming her money, and then trying to leave. While she's holding on to me, screaming, "I'll never let you go." And I'm telling her I don't like Celine Dion. So there you go, that's a story for you.
I can't believe what I just heard from you.
Maybe I should write a series of books. It's just
you
Jamie
should write your own
movies.
Book for NaNoWriMo.
I think you told me this before. I think my other theory was just writing down my scientific facts. But at this point, I should just write down my I should just do an audiobook.
You should.
My pronunciations would be hilarious. I should do a Game of Thrones
and
audiobook.
And then, you could get rid of all your really horrifying things to say for the podcast. Maybe then I wouldn't be scarred every night and cry myself to sleep.
Nah. You don't cry.
Yeah,
do
I
you?
Do.
Oh, dear.
I'm kept awake by the things you say.
You think you're the only one, Dave?
But you know... Okay, I take it. Actually, you know what? Never mind. You absolutely don't know what you're going to say.
I really don't. I just, like, get to a point where I'm just like, all right, podcast, brain off, mouth open, see what happens. A lot of times it's just words.
It is.
Sometimes it makes sense, sometimes it doesn't. But, you know, I'm sure there's someone out there as evil as me who gets a good laugh from all this.
Maybe. You think you'll work at the NSA?
I reckon they're probably in mid-execution.
They're waiting for execution. Like, before they die, their last act is going to be to rat you out.
Oh, that'd be a cool one. If I was getting executed, I'd just say a random list of names that don't make any sense. So they just start tracking people down, thinking they're tied to me.
That's horrifying. Like,
or I just say like a random series of coordinates, so they just show up at a certain place and think there's something going on.
Okay, that's funnier.
Or I just start confessing to crimes that I wasn't even alive to commit. I'm just like, the bodies are buried here. They're just like, what bodies? What are you talking about? They're like, you'll see, just go to these coordinates. They go to these coordinates, there's just nothing there, and they're just like really angry and confused. They're like, it took us 2 days to get here.
It's like the last trick played by you before you died.
I tell them the gold's at the bottom of the ocean, so they send a crew to the very bottom of the ocean. And they
at
get
the very bottom, there's just a sign that says, gotcha.
It's just a sign that says, got you, and then another one that just says, Cthulhu was here.
And the one with the one underneath the Cthulhu sign, their coordinates.
Yeah. They go to the Cthulhu one, and it's like, in deep space. They send a crew out to space. It took them years. People had to give up being with their families to travel out to space to find this treasure.
And then they find Cthulhu having a bath.
They find like a space station with just Cthulhu on it.
And they find a space station where a guy is being recruited to fight alien invasion from heaven. And he's been supported by an android who doesn't believe in aliens.
And they're like, guys, it's happened. We're now in the fiction of Trogdor.
He wasn't an author. He was a prophet.
It's like, this is the end of days. And it all started with the execution of Jaime.
Would you be mad if I wrote about someone named Jaime getting executed? And then you ended up getting executed? Like, strange.
Could my character be the narrator of the story?
No, and then your character ends up getting, when your character is executed, like, a year later, you get executed in the same way for the same thing. Like, I may have, like, impromptu, like, written you to die, and I caused you to die.
You may.
Like, would that anger you?
I mean, I wouldn't think I'd be too thrilled, but I'd be dead, Dave.
But would, like, your last moment, you just be mad?
I'd be mad that you used your ability to predict the future to write me as in dying, to predict my death and not anything more important.
Now, what if you could blame everything like, bad that happened to you on someone just writing you as like being a lame character?
Oh, I plan to. That's one of the things I say on my execution, I'll be like, blame George R.R. Martin. It was his fault. He made me this way.
There wouldn't be an execution, like, Jaime. You'd just be banged and you'd be dead.
Can the intro of your book just be, there's an execution going on, they're just like, any last words, and I just tell like a dozen short stories. The whole story is me narrating while I'm being executed.
That actually sounds like the,
they just kill me because they get mad at me.
Like the Legend of the Arabian Nights. A woman told a story every night that was so captivating that the prince just kept going along with it. And so he kept writing for execution until he fell in love with her.
Oh, that's nice.
So that's already a thing, sorry.
Did they have a happy ending, or did, you know?
Yeah, they got married and they all fell in love and blah, 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 blah. It's happy.
Blah, 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 blah.
It ended happy.
Oh, good. Unlike, meanwhile, my story would be the opposite way around. It was like, man, I was actually going to put off your execution, but hearing your story now, I'm really wanting you dead.
Man, you're a bad storyteller. You're going to die now, boy.
Like, man, we were going to do this the nice way. Now we're just going to make you suffer.
Yeah, now we're going to saw you in half, starting with your legs. Upside down.
They're just like, now we're going to take you down. Now we're just going to use this pointed stick. I'm like, what are you going to do with the pointed stick? They'd be like, bend him over.
Oh, impalement. Oh, that's a nasty way to go.
But they only do it halfway and they stop, so I'm still alive. I'm just like, are you not going to finish? No.
Actually, that sounds like regular impalement. You'd still be alive when they've lifted you up. And you'd slowly die as gravity continued to push it up through your insides.
Oh.
All the way up the butt. And everywhere else. Because it'd shove it up your butt, it'd go through your butt, through your intestines, and stop at your stomach. And then you'd be forced to hang there as gravity did the rest of the work over several days.
Oh, I'd like rip through your intestines. Ugh.
It'd rip through everything. I don't want this anymore. It's a log. Like, it wasn't like a small stick either. It was a big stick.
Oh, I'm now annoyed. I'm now upset with myself that was the way I want to go.
Jamie wants to go in one of the most horrific ways to die.
I suppose it'd be fitting.
It's not a very good fit, if you know what I mean.
I suppose the reason it'd be funny, though, is because imagine the queen holding the stick.
It's not a stick, it's a full log.
She just hold it over her head, like...
And what they do is, they plant it at the base, and then they slam you into the log. So it doesn't always go clean up the behind either. You're going to hurt and suffer, and you're going to be screaming and moaning for the last 4 to 7 days of your life.
Yeah, I can gather that, Dave. I don't want to think about this no more, Dave. I'm good.
Yeah. Well, in that case, why don't we say goodnight to the people who probably also don't want to think about this? I hope you guys enjoyed listening.
Second night to the people.
I'm not really sure how we got onto this. Yeah. Well, I never said they'd be sleeping. I said goodnight. Just be happy knowing that you're not one of tens of thousands of people who were impaled by Vlad the Impaler. Have a good night and clench.
Impaler. Clench.